Suratul A'raf, ayah number 203 onwards. And when you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not bring them a sign, meaning the kuffar, the polytheists, a miracle, they say, why have you not contrived it? Why have you not made it up? Say, I only follow what is revealed to me from my Lord. This Qur'an is enlightenment from your Lord and guidance and mercy for the people who believe. Allah says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So when the Qur'an is recited, then listen to it and pay attention that you may receive mercy. This is the protocol with the Qur'an. Whenever the Qur'an is being recited or read, we must listen to it. Allah says, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Try to listen attentively. وَأَنصِتُوا. Pay attention and concentrate. Why? Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that you may receive mercy. A way to receive mercy is to listen to the recitation of the Qur'an, the reading of the Qur'an, the explanation of the Qur'an with silence and attentiveness. If a person feels distracted or they feel lazy, wanting to fall asleep, then this is from shaitan. So say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, when the Qur'an is being recited. Are we allowed to speak at all? Yes, of course, but minimally. Say something that is absolutely necessary to say. Otherwise, be silent and listen. Allah says, وَاسْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَدَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً. And remember your Lord within yourself in humility and in fear, without being apparent in speech, in the mornings and the evenings, and do not be among the heedless. وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Aside from the five prayers, the Prophet ﷺ used to sit after Fajr and after Maghrib to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered that in the Qur'an. This is a cure for heedlessness. And Allah says at the end of this ayah, do not be among the heedless, ghafil, person who is completely unaware. So how do I get rid of heedlessness? To sit down and remember Allah after Fajr and after Maghrib, the morning and evening du'as. There are du'as to be recited at this moment for protection and for khair, for goodness from Allah. There are du'as to be recited to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening. There are the azkar, the zikr, the remembrances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the litanies that were taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at these moments. Allah says, Inna lazina inda rabbika. Indeed, those who are near your Rabb, la yastakbiruna an ibadatihi, they are not prevented by arrogance from his worship. Walahu yasjudun, and they prostrate to him. Iblis was arrogant and he did not prostrate. This is an ayah for sajda. In the mushaf, in the book, you might see a small minaret next to those ayat, after which the Prophet ﷺ used to do sajda. Now sajda at these ayat is not obligatory, but it is recommended. And a person can do sajda in any condition, even if you do not have wudu, or even if a woman is menstruating, they can still do sajda of tilawa, the sajda, the prostration of recitation. Obviously, it needs to be in the direction of the qibla, and it is to be done just once. So Allah says, listen to the Qur'an, be attentive to it, remember Allah within yourself, in your heart, with humility, with true feelings of humility and fear, without being apparent in speech, not loudly so that other people can notice, in the mornings and in the evenings, meaning just for the sake of Allah, and this prevents heedlessness. Allah says, continue to do sajda, because to avoid doing sajda, or to deny doing sajda is a mark of arrogance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all arrogance. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we have completed Suratul A'raf. And now we shall begin Suratul Anfal. Al-Anfal, it means the bounties, meaning those things acquired in addition to victory as spoils of war. Abu Umama said, I asked Ubadah about Al-Anfal, and he said, It was revealed about us, those who participated in Badr, when we disputed about Al-Anfal, and our dispute was not appealing. So Allah took Anfal, meaning the booties from the spoils of war, away from us and gave it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided it equally among Muslims. Suratul Anfal. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yas'alunaka 'anil Anfal. قل الأنفال لله والرسول فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the bounties of war. Say the decision concerning bounties is for Allah and the Messenger. So fear Allah and amend that which is between you, and obey Allah and His Messenger if you should be believers. Meaning it is not appropriate for the believers to dispute about the spoils of war. In fact, they should leave the judgment up to Allah and His Messenger and simply obey His orders. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful, their hearts tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, and when His ayat are recited to them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, it increases their iman. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and upon their Rabb they rely. What a beautiful example of believers. What a beautiful description of believers. Allah says, It is not appropriate for believers to argue about worldly things. In fact, the mark of a believer is only that when the ayat of Allah, when the signs, the verses of Allah are recited upon him, his heart starts trembling and it increases his iman and he trusts his Lord. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, they are the ones who establish prayer. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and from what we have provided for them, they spend. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا, those are the believers truly. For them are degrees of high position with their Lord, and forgiveness and noble provision. Allah describes beautifully the believers. Allah says, The mark of a believer is that when Allah is mentioned, her heart trembles. She fears Allah, becomes fearful. And when she hears the verses of Allah, it increases her in faith. And she relies upon her Lord. She establishes prayer and spends in charity what Allah has provided for them. Allah says, those are believers truly. Whether it is a man or whether it is a woman, Allah says, these are true believers. For them are high degrees of position. Allah gives them grades according to their level of iman, according to their level of pure intention and action. Allah says they will have forgiveness from their Lord, and they will have a very noble and generous provision. Where? In Jannah. Allah says, it is just as when your Lord brought you out of your home for the battle of Badr, in truth, while indeed a party among the believers were unwilling. So there was a difference of opinion at the Battle of Badr, and the same thing occurred about the spoils of war. Allah says, a party among the believers were unwilling, arguing with you concerning the truth, after it had become clear, as if they were being driven toward death while they were looking on, because now that war was permissible, the believers became afraid, and this was their natural human reaction, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticized them for it. Because a mark of a believer is that he will trust Allah completely. Allah says, Remember, O believers, when Allah promised you one of two groups, that it would be yours. Meaning either the caravan of Quraysh or their army. So what happened at the Battle of Badr? The Muslims had heard about the caravan of Abu Sufyan, who was one of the kuffar of Quraysh, and they were going out to attack it. But Abu Sufyan heard that the Muslims were coming, so he regrouped and went to the Quraysh, and they instead brought forth an army to fight the Muslims. Now the Muslims were not really prepared for battle, but the Prophet marched on with them. They were just 313 in number, with perhaps one or two horses, and the kuffar, the disbelievers, were 1,000 in number. So Allah says that they were promised that either they would get the caravan and the wealth from it, or they would win the war against the polytheists. So Allah says, remember, O believers, when Allah promised you one of the two groups, that it would be yours, and you wished that the unarmed one would be yours, meaning the caravan, but Allah intended to establish the truth by His words and to eliminate the disbelievers, that He should establish the truth and abolish falsehood, even if the criminals disliked it. This is why the victory on the Battle of Badr became known as Criterion, Al-Furqan. It was called the Day of the Criterion, the day when the Criterion was established, Yawm al-Furqan. Allah says, remember when you asked help of your Lord, and He answered you, indeed, I will reinforce you with 1,000 from the angels following one another. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I was a witness to something that al-Miqdad bin al-Aswad did, that I would like more than almost anything else to have been the one who did it. Al-Miqdad came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, while he was invoking Allah against the idolaters and proclaimed, we will not say as the people of Musa said, so go you and your Lord fight, the two of you. Subhanallah. He said, rather, we will fight to your right, to your left, before you and behind you. I saw the Prophet's face beaming with pleasure because of what Al-Miqdad said to him. On that day, the Prophet ﷺ made dua to Allah, and he said, O Allah, I invoke you for your covenant and promise, meaning victory. O Allah, if you decide to cause our defeat, you will not be worshipped. Abu Bakr held the Prophet's hand and said, enough. The Prophet ﷺ went out proclaiming, their multitude will be put to flight, and they will show their backs. Allah had given him good news of victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them 1,000 angels, murdifin, they were marked, and they came in succession, one behind the other. Ibn Abbas said, Allah supported His Prophet and the believers with 1,000 angels, 500 under the leadership of Jibreel on one side, and 500 under the leadership of Mikail on another side. Umar radiallahu anhu said, while a Muslim man was pursuing an idolater during the Battle of Badr, he heard the sound of a whip above him and a rider saying, come, O Hazm. Then he looked at the idolater who fell to the ground. When he investigated, he found that the idolater's nose had a wound and his face torn apart, just as if he had received a strike from a whip on it, and the entire face had turned green. The Ansari man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning one of the people who were inhabitants of Medina, the Muslims. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him what had happened, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, you have said the truth that was from the reinforcements from the third heaven. Al-Bukhari recorded the hadith that Jibreel alaihi wasallam came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, how honored are those who participated in Badr among you? The Prophet said, among the best Muslims. Jibreel alayhi salam said, this is the case with the angels who participated in Badr. Allah looked at the people of Badr and proclaimed, do whatever you want, for I have forgiven you. Allah says in the Quran, we will indeed make victorious our messengers and those who believe in this world's life and on the day when the witnesses will stand forth, meaning the day of resurrection. Allah sent down angels, murdifin, one after the other. Allah says, and Allah made it not, but good news, and so that your hearts would be assured thereby. And victory is not but from Allah. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. Remember when He overwhelmed you with drowsiness, giving security from him, and sent down upon you from the sky rain, by which to purify you, and remove from you the evil suggestions of Satan, and to make steadfast your hearts, and plant firmly thereby your feet. Abu Talha said, I was among those who were overcome by slumber during the battle of Uhud. The sword fell from my hand several times, and I kept picking it up again several times. I also saw the companions' heads nodding while in the rear guard. Ali said only Al-Miqdad had a horse during Badr, and at some point I found that all of us fell asleep except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was praying under a tree and crying until dawn. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Slumber during battle is security from Allah, but during prayer it is from shaitan. Ibn Abbas said, When the Prophet, peace be upon him, arrived at the battle for Badr, he made camp. At the time there was a sandy piece of land between the polytheist and the water, meaning the wells at Badr. Muslims felt weak, and shaitan cast frustration into their hearts. He whispered to them, You claim that you are Allah's supporters and that His Messenger is among you. However, the polytheists have taken over the water resource from you while you pray, needing purity. Allah sent down heavy rain, allowing the Muslims to drink and use it for purity. Allah also removed Satan's whisper and made the sand firm when the rain fell on it, and the Muslims walked on the sand along with their animals until they reached the enemy. Allah supported His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers with 1,000 angels. So the angels, the rain, the slumber, all came to support the Muslims by the will of Allah. Water and wudu with water purifies the evil suggestions of Satan. This is why the Prophet, peace be upon him, has also taught us that when one feels angry, they should drink some water. They should say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge in Allah from Satan the accursed. If they are standing, they should sit down. If they are sitting, they should lay down. They should drink water and they should do wudu, because that cools our bodies and our emotions. Allah then says, Remember when your Lord inspired to the angels, I am with you. So strengthen those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieved, so strike them upon the necks and strike them from every fingertip. Why fingertips? Because they grasp and manipulate their weapons with the fingertips. It's also interpreted as all extremities. Allah says that is because they opposed Allah and His Messenger. And whoever opposes Allah and His Messenger, indeed Allah is severe in penalty. That is yours, so taste it, and indeed for the disbelievers is the punishment of the fire. O you who have believed, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, when you meet those who disbelieve advancing for battle, do not turn your backs to them in flight. This is one of the 7 destructive sins. Allah says, And whoever turns his back to them on such a day, unless swerving as a strategy for war, or joining another company, has certainly returned with anger upon him from Allah, and his refuge is hell, and wretched is the destination. And you did not kill them, but it was Allah who killed them. Meaning Allah is teaching us, and saying to the Sahaba, Your strength was insufficient to overcome them, but Allah supported you and gave you victory. And that is true in every case. Self-confidence is a good thing to have, however, one must know that it is a stretch under any circumstances to believe that human beings can do anything without divine help. Allah says, And you did not kill them, but it was Allah who killed them. And you threw not, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you threw, but it was Allah who threw. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam threw a handful of dust into the faces of the disbelievers, Allah caused it to fill the eyes and nose of every soldier, preventing their advance. Allah says, But it was Allah who threw, that He might test the believers with a good test. Indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. Why a good test? So that they would appreciate Allah's favor to them. This battle was a test for them. And by the will of Allah and with the help of Allah they passed. And they passed with flying colors. Allah says, that is so, and also that Allah will weaken the plot of the disbelievers. If you, disbelievers, seek the decision, meaning victory, the decision, meaning defeat, has come to you. And if you desist from hostilities, it is best for you. But if you return to war, we will return, and never will you be availed by your large company at all, even if it should increase, and that is because Allah is with the believers. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We need to remember this. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is always with the believers, so if we don't see victory in front of our eyes, it is not because Allah is not present. Allah is always present, and He is always strong. It is we who have become weak. We have become weak in our iman. Allah says, Ya ayyuha allazina amanu, atiullaha wa rasulahu, wa la tawallaw anhu, wa antum tasma'un. O you who have believed, obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not turn away from Him while you hear His order. And today for us, this is the crux of the problem. Allah says, and do not be like those who say, we have heard, while they do not hear. Do we do that today? Do believers say, do Muslims say, that we have heard, but we actually do not hear? How do we know that we do not hear? Because we have not implemented what we hear. Allah says, indeed, the worst of living creatures in the sight of Allah are the deaf and dumb who do not use reason. Subhanallah. Had Allah known any good in them, meaning the disbelievers, He would have made them hear. And if He had made them hear, they would still have turned away while they were refusing. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, respond to Allah and to the Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum, that which gives you life. This is a true believer. Allah orders us, the believers, we need to respond to Allah. Respond to what? Allah orders us to do certain things. Allah orders us to follow and believe in La ilaha illallah. We need to respond. The Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, calls us by his teachings. We need to respond. Why? Because this is what gives us life. The Quran and the Sunnah give us life. Otherwise, Allah says that you cannot make those who are in graves hear. Man fil qubur. And here's a warning. Allah says, and know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that to him you will be gathered. How does Allah intervene between a man and his heart? The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that a man's heart is between the fingers of Allah. He turns the heart either way that he wants to, any way that he wants to. Allah can stop us from listening and understanding with our hearts. Islam enters us through our chest, through our hearts. Remember, in Surah Al-An'am, we had learned that. But if we do not respond to Allah and His Messenger, if we do not acknowledge that this is life-giving scripture, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent our heart from ever understanding it. May Allah forgive us. May Allah give us multiple chances. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us from this dunya as true believers. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah warns us again. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً, and fear a trial which will not strike those who have wronged among you exclusively, and know that Allah is severe in penalty. Allah is warning us again. Believe, be like the true believers. Do not be those like the ones who say, we have heard, while they do not hear. Do not be like those who are deaf, dumb and blind and don't use reason. Do not be like those who do not respond to Allah and His Messenger when they are called to life-giving sources. Do not be like those who underwent a trial, a punishment, a difficulty, an affliction, which was not exclusive to the people who were unjust. Allah says, and remember, when you were few and oppressed in the land, fearing the people might abduct you, but He sheltered you, supported you with His victory, and provided you with good things, that you might be grateful. Allah has done this for us. He has done this for our ancestors. He has done this for the Sahaba. Allah has done this repeatedly since the beginning of time. He has supported the believers and the prophets. We need to remember that so that we are grateful. Allah says again, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who have believed. Allah is calling us and saying, do not betray Allah and the Messenger, or betray your trust while you know the consequence. Do not turn away from Allah. Do not go back on your promise. Allah says, and know that your properties and your children are but a trial, and that Allah has with Him a great reward. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who believe, let not your properties or your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. And whosoever does that, then they are the losers. In Sahih Bukhari is a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there are three qualities for which whomever has them, he will have tasted the sweetness of faith. They are, whoever Allah and His Messenger are dearer to him than anyone else, whoever loves a person for Allah's sake alone, and whoever prefers to be thrown in the fire rather than revert to disbelief after Allah has saved him from it. So if a person has these qualities, then a person has tasted the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of faith. In fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, has said, as recorded in Bukhari, by He in whose hand is my soul, none of you will have faith unless I become dearer to him than himself, his family, his wealth, and all people. Our children and our properties, they simply distract us. They are not the reward from Allah. Our children, even if they are good children, are only a reward if they bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the children are pious, the wealth is only a reward if it brings us closer to Allah. If we spend it for the sake of Allah, if we earn it in a halal manner. Other than that, they're just a test. They are in actuality a test. The true reward that will be given to us will be in Akhirah, because that will not be a test. It will be a gift to simply enjoy. Allah says again, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who have believed, if you fear Allah, He will grant you a criterion and will remove from you your misdeeds and forgive you. And Allah is a possessor of great bounty. In tattaqullaha taqwa. What is taqwa? What is this amazing thing called taqwa? Because if I have that, then Allah will grant me a criterion. He will give me the ability to judge between right and wrong, and He will remove my misdeeds from me. What is this thing called taqwa? Taqwa is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above anyone else, and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above anyone else. To do every single thing within our power to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the things that He loves. On the other hand, to avoid any single thing that He hates or dislikes. That is taqwa. The root of taqwa is waw, qaf, and ya, and in Arabic it means caution. Wiqayatun means caution. Be cautious. Make sure, do not make Him angry, and be sure to make Him pleased. Bi'iznillahu ta'ala. Allah says, O you who have believed. Now a person has believed but might not have taqwa, the level of taqwa that is required. That is why Allah is ordering believers to have taqwa, to be cautious of Allah, to not take Him for granted. Allah says, O you who have believed, if you fear Allah, He will grant you a criterion and will remove from you your misdeeds and forgive you. And Allah is the possessor of great bounty. May Allah make us of these people. Ameen. And remember, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when those who disbelieved plotted against you to restrain you or kill you or evict you from Makkah, but they plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted the Quraysh from killing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because all planning belongs to Allah, and this is why we need to trust Allah. Allah says, and when our verses are recited to them, they say, we have heard. If we willed, we could say something like this. This is not but legends of the former peoples. These are old stories. We have heard them before. And we can write something like this as well. Subhanallah. People attempted to write something like the Quran, and they failed miserably over and over again. Because this is not the speech of a human being. This is the speech of Allah. Allah says, and remember when they said, O Allah, if this should be the truth from you, then rain down upon us stones from the sky or bring us a painful punishment. Subhanallah. So insolent. Allah says, but Allah would not punish them while you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are among them, and Allah would not punish them while they seek forgiveness. But why should Allah not punish them while they obstruct people from Al-Masjid Al-Haram and they were not fit to be its guardians? Its true guardians are naught but the righteous, but most of them do not know. All of this address is to the polytheists of Quraysh, because they were the purveyors, they were the guardians of the Kaaba. Allah says, and their prayer at the house, meaning the Kaaba, was not except whistling and hand clapping. So taste the punishment for what you disbelieved. Indeed, those who disbelieve spend their wealth to avert people from the way of Allah. So they will spend it, then it will be for them a source of regret. Then they will be overcome. And those who have disbelieved, unto hell they will be gathered. This is so that Allah may distinguish the wicked from the good, and place the wicked, some of them, upon others, and heap them all together, and put them into hell. It is those who are the losers. Say to those who have disbelieved, that if they cease, what has previously occurred will be forgiven for them. But if they return to hostility, then the precedent of the former rebellious peoples has already taken place. This is a simple warning. Just look back at history, Allah says, what happened to those previous nations. Allah says, and fight them until there is no fitna. Fitna here meaning persecution, because the kuffar were persecuting the Muslims. So Allah says, and fight them until there is no fitna, no persecution, and until the religion, meaning worship, all of it is for Allah. And if they cease, then indeed Allah is seeing of what they do. But if they turn away, then know that Allah is your protector. Excellent is the protector, and excellent is the helper. Ni'ma al-Mawla wa ni'ma al-Nasir. The fitna is persecution, or it is polytheism. So the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to fight the disbelievers, so that their persecution of the Muslims would stop, and also so that idol worship would be wiped out from the Arabian Peninsula, and particularly the Haram, which was sacred, and only true believers had the right to be its guardians. An interesting note is that the Battle of Badr occurred in the month of Ramadan. In fact, it occurred on the 17th of Ramadan, 2 years after the Prophet, peace be upon him, had migrated from Mecca to Medina. It has been passed down in our history as a decisive victory because of divine intervention. Prior to this battle, the Muslims and the Quraysh had fought several smaller skirmishes, but this was the first large-scale engagement between the two forces. The Muslim victory signaled to the other tribes that new power had risen in that area, and it strengthened Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's position as leader of the Muslims. So let's recap a little bit. What did we learn in Juz number 9? It began in Suratul Araf with the mention of the people of Madian, to whom Shuayb alaihi salam was sent, And we learned through the history of the various prophets that they all came with the same message, the message of monotheism, and also to reform a social ill that was prevalent at that time, as in the case of Lut alayhi salam. And it was always the eminent people, the leaders in the communities, who would oppose the messengers. We also learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always, always safeguard the believers and the prophets with them, and he would destroy the communities of disbelievers without fail. Then we read the interesting story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. We see his power dwindling away with every move, because the power of the miracles that Musa alayhi salam came with were so strong. We saw that the magicians accepted Islam at once and fell down in sajda when they realized that what Musa alayhi salam had could never be magic. And for their emotional belief and humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were awarded a terrible punishment by Fir'aun. However, by Allah, they were given paradise. Then Allah tells us how insolent and defiant and uncouth were the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, despite the fact that they had seen so many miracles and so much help from this unseen God. They wanted to create a God from a statue that they could worship and they could touch and see and feel, even though they knew that it was not the real God. Allah forgave them. Allah forgave them multiple times. Allah brought them back to life after the earthquake seized them, when they demanded to see Allah outright. We see that their defiance and insolence continued over the centuries, so that the people who lived in Medina, the Jews who lived in Medina, also behaved in the same manner as their ancestors of the past. Allah invites them to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the unlettered prophet, because he came with a religion that was easy, and he came with a light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to believe in him, to honor him, and to support him. And he says those are the true believers. In this particular juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he has created all the souls all at once at the time of Adam alayhi salam, and he took a covenant from all of us that we will not worship anyone except him. Allah also stresses the importance of forbidding evil and enjoining good, because that is one of the marks, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in particular, the story of the fishing village is reintroduced from a slightly different angle. It is from the angle of the people, the other people in the community. They all split into three groups. The two groups that were destroyed consisted of the evildoers as well as the bystanders, who did nothing to forbid the evil that they saw. The only ones who were saved were the ones who advised people to stop. Allah gives an example of a person whom he would have elevated by his ayat, but instead he leaned toward the earth, toward earthly things, material things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is like a dog who rolls his tongue, whether you chase him or you do not chase him. May Allah save us from being of those. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We learned about the hour. We learned that no one knows anything about the hour. That only Allah knows the hour, and it will come suddenly upon us, and it is weighing heavily upon the heavens and the earth. Allah again criticizes polytheism severely, and he asks, do they have feet by which they walk, the idols? Do they have hands by which they strike? These false deities themselves need help. They are also the creation of Allah. They are not creators. Allah tells us at the end of Surah Al-A'raf, listen to the Quran when it is recited and pay attention. Remember Allah with humility and fear Him, and remember Him in the mornings and evenings, so that we do not become heedless, and do sajda to Allah, prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be arrogant in your worship. In Surah Al-Anfal, we learn that believers do not dispute about worldly things. The believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble and become fearful, and their iman increases when His ayat are recited upon them. They establish and protect their prayer, and they are generous and spend from what Allah has provided for them. Allah says, those alone are the believers. Truly, He stresses that twice. Then Allah describes for us the Battle of Badr, Yawm al-Furqan, the day of the criterion, the day when truth was established, how He sent down rain from the sky, how He sent down slumber upon them, upon the believers, how He sent 1,000 angels to fight along with the Muslims, so it did not really matter that they were small in number. Belief does amazing things. Belief invokes the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we want victory, we must believe in Allah and follow Him. What are those conditions? Allah addresses the believers, and the multiple ayats start with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. In ayah 20 of Surah Al-Anfal, Allah says, O you who have believed, obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not turn away from Him while you hear. Do not be like those who say, we have heard, but they do not hear. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, respond to Allah and to the Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. Know that the time is short and Allah can intervene at any time between a man and his heart. And also Allah says, fear a trial that might affect you even though you are not a disbeliever. Allah reminds us that He has given us iman. Allah reminds us that we have a covenant we have to fulfill, and He commands us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, do not betray Allah and the Messenger, or betray your trust while you are aware. Allah warns us, do not become distracted by your property and your children, because they are both simply a trial. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, if you fear Allah, He will grant you a criterion and will remove from you your misdeeds and forgive you. Allah is a possessor of great bounty. It is Allah who restrains the hands of people against the believers, but we have to be true believers. Allah says, be confident and fight the disbelievers. Fight them with this Quran. Fight them with the truth, because the truth is always strong and falsehood is always weak. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the truth as truth and give us the opportunity and ability to follow it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us falsehood as falsehood and the ability and opportunity to avoid it. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين